State University, this is Current Sports. What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, March 8th, 2016. I trust that you all are having a fantastic afternoon. It is B-E-A-utiful out in East Lansing right now. 60 degrees, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping. I know you guys are having a good day. I mean, how can you not, all right? And we plan on making your day even brighter by bringing you a fantastic hour of Current Sports. We have a great show in store for all of you out there as we'll be diving into the retirement of two of the premier faces of the NFL that have been for quite some time. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll also recap what took place last night in the opening night of boys high school basketball district tournament action. I was actually at East Lansing High School to check out one of the biggest games in the area. You'll get to hear from the head coach of the East Lansing Trojans, Steve Finnemore, as the Trojans knocked off Lansing Waverly. And you don't want to miss that. We will also invite live to our studios J.J. Tai, who is the president and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation. He has two pretty cool events coming up that he wants to talk about with all of you out there. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Be a part of today's show by calling in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. One hot show with so little time. So let's get right to it. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this March 8th. Folks, we start with Denzel Valentine. That's right. The Michigan State senior guard was named Big Ten Player of the Year in voting by both league and media and coaches. Valentine is the eighth Michigan State player to win the award and fifth under head coach Tom Izzo. The others under Izzo were Draymond Green in 2012, Kalen Lucas in 2009, Morris Peterson in 2000, and Mateen Cleaves in 1998 and 1999. Previous MSU winners were Sean Respert in 1995, Scott Giles in 1986, and Jay Vincent in 1981. Two other MSU seniors were honored as well, with senior guard Brent Forbes making the media and coaches all Big Ten second team, while senior Matt Costello makes the media second team and coaches third team. USA Today picked Valentine as well as its National Player of the Year. Pretty big honor there. Congratulations to Denzel Valentine. And Brent Forbes was named Big Ten Player of the Week yesterday after he scored 47 points in two of Michigan State's wins last week. He had 33 of those points in a Big Ten record 11 three-pointers in Wednesday's 97-66 win at Rutgers. This is the second time Forbes has been honored with the Big Ten's weekly award this season. Mark Alstork, he scored 18, and JT Yoho added 15 points, including the go-ahead jumper with 24 seconds left to play to lead third-seeded Wright State. Right past number two-seeded Oakland, 59-55 Monday night in the semifinals of the Horizon League tournament. Daniel Mortensen hit three threes and finished with 11 for the Raiders, who will face fourth-seeded Green Bay in the championship game, which takes place tonight. Last night, again, the district tourney opener for boys high school basketball around the area took place. East Lansing topped Waverly 61-48. Okemos beat Jackson Northwest 44-37. Grand Ledge topped Hazlitt 68-49. Everett beats Mason 60-32. Sexton beats Perry 60-48. And Ovid Elsie beats Central Montcalm 63-50. Just some of the local scores from around the area. We'll have more from the East Lansing and Waverly game in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. The Detroit Lions, in conversations with the representatives of various players across the league, they told people that they would hope to know within the next 24 hours what Calvin Johnson, Detroit Lion fame wide receiver, would do for the year 2016. Is he going to hang up the cleats or not? Well, not too long ago, Calvin Johnson confirmed that he is calling it a career. Megatron, bidding adieu to the NFL and the game of football He does plan to retire. We will have more on that story in just a sec. Do not go anywhere. The Detroit Red Wings will be on the road tonight taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Puck drop is scheduled for 7 p.m. The Wings are coming off back-to-back losses last week to the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, the Wings defeated the Columbus Blue Jackets 2-1 in a shootout at Joe Louis Arena on February 23rd. Get this. Lovie Smith is returning to the state of Illinois, joining the Fighting Illini as their new coach. Illinois announced that it has given Smith a 6-year, $21 million deal to run its football program. It will be Smith's first head coaching job at the college level. He will be paid $2 million a year in each of his first two seasons. Smith will be Illinois' first black head football coach. Smith had been the coach of the Chicago Bears from 2004 to 2012 and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2014-15. And last, we have a jury that has awarded Erin Andrews $55 million as a result of her lawsuit against a Nashville Marriott and a man who took and posted a video of her. Andrews was asking for $75 million in her civil suit versus West End Hotel Partners, which operates the Marriott at Vanderbilt, and Michael David Barrett, who tampered with her hotel room's peephole to record a video of her, while she was in her hotel room. Now, Barrett then posted the video online in 2009. The jury found Barrett 51% responsible and the hotel to be 49% responsible, meaning Barrett is on the hook for approximately $28 million in damages, while the hotel is ordered to pay $26 million. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Time to start the show.
First NFL game, I completed my first pass to Hall of Fame running back Marshall Faulk. I threw a touchdown in that same game to Marvin Harrison, who will be inducted into the Hall of Fame this August. The quarterback for our opponent, the Miami Dolphins, was, after my dad, my favorite player, Hall of Famer Dan Marino, who on the first third down of the game completed a 25-yard skinny post, and it was the damnedest throw I'd ever seen. Later, I completed a pass to tight end Marcus Pollard down the middle, and somebody hit me really hard, and after I got up, I told myself, I know I can play in this league. Later in that struggling season, we played in and lost to Baltimore. I had met him once before, but when the game was over, I had a chance to shake Johnny Unitas' hand. He told me, Peyton, you stay at it. I'm pulling for you. Well, I have stayed at it. I've stayed at it for 18 years. And I hope that old number 19 is up there with his flat top and maybe his black high tops on. And I hope he knows that I have stayed at it and maybe he's even a little proud of me. There's just something about 18 years. 18 is a good number. And today I retire from pro football.
Calvin Johnson has officially retired, and as he goes, so ends another era of football for the Detroit Lions. Calvin Johnson was the face of the Lions franchise for a decade. He holds almost every significant Lions receiving record. He holds 15 NFL records, including the single-season receiving yards record of 1,964 yards, which he set in 2012.
Welcome to today's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And yes, folks, two of the game's prominent figures have decided to call it a career. We talked briefly during yesterday's Current Sports about Peyton Manning, an 18-year career coming to an end, fitting, seeing as though Peyton wore number 18 during his playing days. Manning retiring as the NFL's all-time leader in passing touchdowns, 539 to be exact, passing yards, 71,940, and quarterback wins, 186, tied with the great Brett Favre. Now, after he signed in Denver in 2012 as perhaps the greatest catch of free agency era, I remember that hoopla when he signed there, his four-year run with the Broncos resulted in four AFC West titles, 50 regular season wins, and two Super Bowl trips, including this past season in which the Broncos topped the Carolina Panthers 24-10 to take home Super Bowl 50. Manning will turn 40 later this month. He was a Super Bowl MVP, a 14-time Pro Bowl selection, a 7-time first-team All-Pro selection, and his teams made the playoffs in 15 of his 18 seasons. Only three seasons in which Peyton Manning did not know what the playoffs were. And he reached the 4,000-yard passing mark in 14 seasons. Really an unbelievable career that we all saw coming to an end after this year. Peyton Manning in all of his glory. And looking at the incredible season, incredible career that Peyton Manning had throughout his tenure. We all knew that a retirement was inevitable when evaluating how this last year went. It wasn't his best. It was actually his worst in his 18-year career. Peyton Manning did not have the velocity that he had previously, didn't have the zip on the ball that we had previously seen during his playing days. And he was even benched from being the starting quarterback of his respective squad for the first time ever. Just an odd year for Peyton. And what made it more odd was that this is a team that went all the way to the Super Bowl with him as a starting quarterback and won it. Of course, anchored by the best defense in the National Football League. That is the prime reason that the Broncos won that Super Bowl. But Peyton did show flashes of greatness from time to time, even with posting some of the worst numbers that he's ever posted up in his entire career. And you know what? A rather just inopportune time to really criticize Peyton Manning's final season in the NFL, right on the day of his retirement, Steelers running back, D'Angelo Williams, he just didn't care. D'Angelo decided to pop off on Twitter and really bash Peyton Manning. I don't know if you guys saw his tweets, but yesterday at around 11 in the morning, D'Angelo tweeted this, quote, "Look, Peyton is a Hall of Fame quarterback who couldn't play dead in a Western last year. But career over, all is astonishing. But last year," and then he had two emojis after, "but last year," and one of those emojis was a face with something covered over his mouth, saying that he didn't have a good year, folks. We all know that. We all know that. Then he goes on to say, quote, "Look at 2010 Jimmy stats versus Peyton Manning. 2015 stats not including wins, and then apologize to me later." So he's basically comparing Jimmy Clausen's stats to Peyton Manning's in his last season. So, just D'Angelo Williams just felt the need to just go on Twitter and just to go off and say, okay, Peyton is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but last year was Oogle. Simple as that. Now, he did go on ESPN's Mike and Mike this morning to place everything in proper context. He went on to say, quote, "We'll see. This is the thing, and this is what I love about social media. We have the freedom of speech, but it was completely taken out of context because I was having a conversation with CBS analyst Pete Prisco." He tweeted, "I was just watching film of Manning throwing for 340 yards in a game, and he still got it." And I tweeted back to him, "I don't know what film you're watching, but it's time for him to retire." So that conversation that he engaged in with Pete Prisco, he believes it is what sparked his comments concerning Peyton's last season. But nonetheless, you know, it's interesting because now the question out there concerning Peyton is, what exactly is Peyton Manning's legacy now that he is retiring? And when you look at his numbers stack up very well against some of the best quarterbacks to ever play this game. But that last season, it's hard to ignore. It wasn't a good year. Even though the Broncos did win the Super Bowl, it was not a good year. And now, you add to that lasting memory of Peyton to the fact that this whole Tennessee investigation is taking place, in which it is sort of opening up skeletons from the closet of Peyton Manning during his career at Tennessee, in which the trainer alleged that she was sexually abused by Peyton Manning in an incident with his trainer. And that investigation is taking place now. And it has gotten Peyton Manning a lot of negative press. Peyton Manning, for much of his career, was looked at as the golden boy of the National Football League. But now, with the investigation at Tennessee, and adding to the fact that Peyton Manning was not great in his last year as a Denver Bronco, what does that do to Peyton Manning's legacy? Because a lot of people feel as though his legacy has taken a hit. I'm curious to know what you think of it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. What do you think the legacy of Peyton Manning is? And as you heard during that montage, there is some breaking news, folks. Calvin Johnson, wide receiver of the Detroit Lions, is calling it a career, officially hanging up the cleats. He has announced that today. It was reported earlier today that the Lions were giving Calvin Johnson at most 24 hours to let them know what in the world is up. And Calvin decided to not add any more drama to this conversation and say, you know what, all right, I've made my decision, I'm done, I'm retiring. And what you just heard was ESPN reporter Michael Rothstein reporting the news on Calvin announcing his retirement. The most prolific wide receiver in franchise history for the D, one of the most talented players we've ever seen play the game of football, his physical stature. I remember when I was an intern back at WLNS TV6, this had to be, I want to say, about 2010, 2011, the summer of 2011, I want to say, and I had just started my internship at WLNS TV6, and one of my assignments early on was to head to Detroit out in Allen Park, the Metro Detroit area out in Allen Park, and to do a feature on the Detroit Lions during their preseason training camp. And I remember, there were two individuals that really stood out, because I remember very vividly the first time I saw Ndamukong Suh, who is now a defensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, formerly of the Detroit Lions. I remember when I saw Ndamukong Suh, and I sat there and said, oh my goodness, this dude just physically, just an intimidating dude. I mean, just ripped, cut. I mean, yeah, he's a lineman. And once you come to find the NFL, a lot of linemen, they pack on the pounds. You know, there's a lot of fat, you know, running around on them, all right? But the thing that amazed me, that's like the usual stature of a lineman, you know, fat, chunky, you know, a bit heavy, not really, you know, muscular, but that doesn't really show. They're not really cut. But it was the exact opposite with Ndamukong Suh. I mean, this guy looked like he didn't have an ounce of fat on him. Just complete muscle. I mean, he looked like a video game. Looked like a professional wrestler. Unbelievable. So I remember watching Ndamukong Suh. And then I turned my head, and as they're going to get water, you know, for a quick water break, I look and see another physical specimen that I'll never forget. That being, of course, Calvin Megatron Johnson. He's taller than everybody on the team. And, you know, it's so cool because you look at Calvin, he loves to wear his helmet with the shaded face mask, which makes him look like a robot. But here you got, you have this guy walking to the water as well, and he's cut as well. I mean, maybe even more so than Ndamukong Suh. Tall and just very charismatic as well. He was very, you know, privy to the fans who were there to check out because it was an open practice. And the fans got a chance to check out the Lions during that sunny afternoon. But I'll never forget, you know, seeing Suh and Johnson in my jaw just being on the floor. Just a physical specimen. You know, and that's exactly what Calvin's career consisted of. I mean, he was one of those guys you could just throw the football up to, didn't have to be a perfectly thrown ball, just throw it in the vicinity of Calvin Johnson, and you knew that he had a legit shot of hauling into football. He holds nearly every significant franchise record. The man, nicknamed Megatron, actually holds 15 NFL records, including the most receiving yards in a season with 1,964 in 2012, as you just heard from Michael. And in a statement released by the Lions, Johnson said he would not be having a news conference to discuss his decision. He just wants to ride off into the sunset with no media hoopla surrounded around it. Just wants to enjoy his life after football with no attention. Quote, let me begin to apologize for making this announcement via a statement and not in person. While I truly respect the significance of this, those who know me best will understand and not be surprised that I chose to not have a press conference for this announcement. After much prayer, thought, and discussion with loved ones, I have made the difficult decision to retire from the Lions and pro football. I have played my last game of football. Let me assure you that this was not an easy or hasty decision. As I stated, I, along with those closest to me, have put a lot of time, deliberation, and prayer into this decision, and I truly am at peace with it. And he goes on to say, I also want you to know that I have the utmost respect and admiration for the game of football. It has provided so much for me and my family, and I will be forever grateful to the game. With the reality of my decision, I realize there are a lot of people I would like to thank, and I must start with my family. Thank you for all of your love and support. That was the statement that Calvin Johnson, just a snippet of the statement that Calvin Johnson released this morning concerning his decision to hang up the cleats and say goodbye to the game of football. And you know, when evaluating Calvin Johnson's legacy, when we look back at what he was able to do in the Honolulu Blue, Calvin Johnson retiring as the Lions' all-time leader in receptions and receiving yards. His early retirement reminds me so much of another man who was one of the greatest to ever play this game, in Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders playing for the Detroit Lions. He had a great career at Oklahoma State. And, you know, he was the third overall pick in the 1989 draft. And looking at, you know, Barry's accomplishments, I just riddled off Calvin's accomplishments, but, you know, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, a 10-time Pro Bowl selection, 6-time first-team selection, All-Pro, 4-time second-team All-Pro, the NFL's MVP back in 1997. I mean, it's really remarkable. 2-time AP NFL Offensive Player of the Year. 3rd leading rusher in NFL history. NFL record for most 1,500-yard seasons. He had 5 of those. Rated number 1 by NFL.com as the most elusive running back of all time. And Barry Sanders did too. Decide to call it a career way too early. So you ask yourself why. Why? And I think for Calvin Johnson, it's a culmination of many things. First off, he plays for the Detroit Lions. Money aside here, he plays for the Detroit Lions, folks. This is a man. Calvin Johnson is a man who went through that horrid record. I mean, he broke a record by being with this team, but not in a positive way. He was a part of that 0-16 team, okay? The first NFL team to ever do that, to not win one game throughout an entire season. He was a part of that. He has never, never won an NFL playoff game. Never. Never even come close to competing for a Super Bowl. And this is arguably, we're talking, the greatest wide receiver to ever play. So at some point, you know, I can't help but think, but at some point you just get tired. You get tired of losing. You get tired of mediocrity. You want to win. And Calvin Johnson individually has done so much to try and help this team, but he just has not gotten the help, the legit help that he has needed to win, to take his career to that next level where he is discussed among the winners, the most prolific winners of the game. So at some point you get tired. You know, he's made a boatload of money throughout his career, so money is not a factor here. Even on the Lions, we're going to pay him a lot. They were certainly going to pay him a lot to renew a contract with him and really throw a lot more money into that wallet of his. But, you know, granted that he has been smart with the money he has accrued over his decade-long career with the Detroit Lions, he's got money in the bank. He is financially secure. But he's losing. So if you got all this money in the bank, you're financially set, you're losing, you're tired of losing, and I do think this is another legitimate chapter to why Calvin Johnson is deciding to make the decision. And I think it's a reason why we are going to see a lot of NFL players who are looking at their careers and saying, okay, I'm financially set. Do I really need to sign a new contract? I really believe a lot of it has to do with the growing knowledge that we are starting to have about concussions and how concussions are directly related to the game of football, and how over time we are seeing former NFL players have problems with their memory, develop depression, have personality changes, all linking to chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the disease that has been found in many NFL players who have died and have had problems with depression, have had personality traits change. And it's scary. You know, the new movie with Will Smith, Concussion, you know, that really bringing it to popular society. You know, I had known about those who are sports buffs and sports heads knew about CTE well before that movie came out. But it's so remarkable how that movie, when people watch it, you know, to the popular masses, those who may not be sports fans, how, you know, I've had many people come to me, many of my family members who aren't sports fans at all, but say, Al, did you know about CTE? You know, this is crazy. You know, and it's really starting to open the eyes of just our society. You know, that, man, football, maybe we need to take another look at how this game is played and whether or not it's healthy for us. And I really think it scared a lot of players. It scared a lot of current football players out there to say, you know what? If I don't have to elongate my NFL career, if I don't have to put wear and tear on my body and possibly, you know, have concussions in my career, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I think people are starting to draw that very fine line. So when it comes to me, when evaluating CJ's career, he's had a great career, but I can't blame the man for hanging it up. Folks, what do you think? Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. What is your reaction to Calvin Megatron Johnson deciding to hang it up and call it a career? I am curious to get your thoughts. And what do you think Calvin Johnson's legacy is? Is he a Hall of Famer? Call in, 517-355-9527. We will take your calls. But in the meantime, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite, for the first time on our show, a man who is the president and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation, J.J. Todd. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From local issues.
If Lansing Township doesn't pay, the county is on the hook.
To national impact.
I never went into the show thinking that I would win the show. The thing that what was always on my mind was kind of maintaining integrity and doing what I do.
WKAR's Current State focuses on Michigan. Current State daily on 90.5 FM, AM 870, always at WKAR.org.
There aren't any miracles to be had in Michigan. You better shop around. In the race for the White House, mojo matters more than Motown. Hillary and Trump are rolling, but what do Michigan voters want to see for their state? and for the rest of the race. That's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway, today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, happy, happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday, March 8th, 2016. I trust that you all are having one fantastic afternoon. And I believe, again, we have Drew Hill, engineering, filling in engineering for us. I know, right? He's pumping his fist behind the glass right now. Our usual engineer, Isaac Constance, of course, he is a student here at Michigan State. He is on spring break, and I follow Isaac via Snapchat, and he is absolutely living it up out in New Orleans. So, Isaac, max tax and relax, baby, because we're putting you right to work when you get back here on Monday, all right? But you know what, Drew? I believe we have a caller on the line, I think. I'm not sure. I'm trying to look in our rundown. What's the name? Oh, we don't have a name yet. Okay, so let's just go to the caller right now. We'll take a brief call and then get to our guest for today's show. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. How you doing?
Hey, hello.
How you doing? And what's your name, my man?
Oh, this is Dave.
Dave, welcome
from
to Grand Sports. What's on your mind, Dave, from Grand Rapids?
Well, I think if this was rolled back 10 years, you might have seen Calvin Johnson play another year or two, or at least finish off his contract. But you said on it, we don't know, we don't have access to his medical records. We don't know how bad his shoulders, knees, feet have been. We don't know how many concussions he might have had. And if he, you know, he didn't go blow his money on bad real estate and he invested it well.
Right.
There's really no reason. I think he's just going to be, he's going to be a pioneer, and you're going to see some of these guys retire after their second contract, which is usually the big one, much more often. I think he's going to be more of the rule than the exception coming up pretty quick. He's getting out before he becomes Al Toon, who, can't hardly move sometimes because of the concussions, because of the migraines he had. And we don't know about that. Being with the Lions and watching the way they started off last year, there's no guarantee that they would have made the playoffs this coming year either. But I think, moreover, I really think that he started thinking about it because it's a tough game. It's a brutal, Duffy Doherty used to say it's a collision sport. And we all saw the plays. He stretched himself out. He got pounded anytime he went up for the ball. He was an easy target and a big guy, but he did get hit. So, hey, I'm happy for him. I'm glad that he's been able to make that decision rather than having other people make it for him. That's all I got. Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot. Great call, Dave. I really appreciate that. And, yeah, I mean, I really do believe you are going to start to see a growing trend amongst NFL players. Again, very good point. Maybe after that second contract that they sign to say, you know what, I really don't want to jeopardize my health more than I have to. Because, and to put this in perspective, a lot of these NFL players, if you're fortunate to get an NFL contract to make that dream come true, you ideally have been playing the game since you were a little tyke. Constant collision over that time. I mean, since you were like 9-10 years old, now into your 20s and early 30s. Oh boy, this may be a growing trend. Great call from Dave from Grand Rapids. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's get to our guest, our in studio guest for today's WKAR's Current Sports. Now, Project ACES was created by physical education teacher Lynn Saunders, in 1989 as a method of motivating children to exercise. ACES takes place on the first Wednesday in May as part of National Physical Fitness and Sports Month, along with National Physical Education Week. It has been labeled as the world's largest exercise class by media. Since 1989, millions of children from all over the world exercise together to promote proper health and fitness habits. With the obesity epidemic facing the youth of the world, children's fitness plays a major role in fighting heart disease. Project ACES, standing for All Children Exercise Simultaneously, hopes to address these issues with its big event in May, as well as schools that participate in daily Project ACES clubs throughout the year. And right now, we have a man to talk about that project and so much more is the president and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation, J.J. Tighe. J.J., thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here today.
Now, J.J., can you expound on what All Children Exercise Simultaneously, how that project came to fruition and how it's grown over the years?
Yeah, it's really our goal is to celebrate and bring attention to the importance of physical activity in our schools across the state of Michigan and across the country for that matter. You know, getting kids out there, getting them active and building those healthy habits for our kids for lifelong health. So that's really the purpose of it. And last year we were fortunate. We got over 300,000 kids from across the state of Michigan exercising on the same day in May. So we're looking forward to another great event here this year.
Now, JJ, why is this so important to today's youth? Because I know you have a few little tykes yourself, right?
I do.
And when you evaluate their lifestyles in comparison to their peers, what problems do you see as far as fitness in today's youth?
Well, I think I've got four young children, and I see the influence of the technology that they have today and the ability to put it down and get outside and go have some fun and be active. And it's really about establishing that healthy habit so they get into that rhythm and do that throughout the course of their life. And it's not just about the physical activity. It's the nutrition component as well. So we can establish these healthy children, and we can really reduce the medical costs as well as reduce the chronic disease that our kids will fight as they go through their lives if they're not active.
Now, JJ, I do believe that the event is coming right here to Michigan State. Am I right?
It is. We have this year we'll have over 1,000 schools across the state participating, and we'll have four major venues, and one of which is right here at Michigan State. We'll have 1,000 kids here at Spartan Stadium participating on May 4th. We'll have another 1,000 at the University of Michigan at the Big House.
Okay, nice.
And we'll have Northern Michigan and Wayne State University participating as well.
Oh, that should be a fun event. All right, we're going to come back to ACES in just a sec, but JJ, for those that may not know what the Michigan Fitness Foundation does and what it is, how did it get founded and what does it exactly entail? What do you guys do there?
Yeah, so we've been around for about 23 years, and our focus is really building healthier communities and building a healthier Michigan, focused on really three main pillars, which is nutrition, education, physical activity, and the built environment in which we live to facilitate those healthy habits.
Gotta love that. Now, JJ, you have an interesting background. You, as the CEO and president now of the Michigan Fitness Foundation, you actually served as a captain in the U.S. military with the 1st Infantry Division and 1st Cavalry Division during 8 years of service. Talk about your road to become now the president and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation. What's that been like for you?
Well, it's been a great road. My time in the United States Army was invaluable. I made some great friends around the world, and I got to see the world flying Black Hawk helicopters in many different places. From there, I ended up in the private sector and worked for General Electric for a number of years. And when the time came to move out of the state of Michigan, my wife, my family, and our four boys decided that it wasn't the right move. We wanted to stay here in Michigan. We love the community aspect that we have in our community here in Michigan, and we wanted to stay here.
JJ, what was that transition like from the military to the quote-unquote real world?
You know, for every veteran, it's different and it's challenging because you don't know how to translate your skills necessarily into the civilian sector. But I can tell you that there's a number of different programs at the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency with our VA that support our veterans as they make that transition. And, you know, I do a lot of that in my spare time as well, as help other veterans make that transition. But it's really about camaraderie and connecting with other veterans and veteran-friendly employers that can help you make that transition.
What was the biggest hurdle in making that transition for you?
Really figuring out where you want to be. It's taking that time to step back and think about where you want your life to go. And now that you're no longer serving, you got a great foundation serving in the United States military, whatever branch it is. There's a lot of programs to leverage that and go back and get your education at some great universities across our state and across the country. And it's really about taking hold of that and figuring out where you want to take it.
Why is fitness so important to you?
It's been something that's been a bedrock for me my entire life. I've growing up playing all sorts of sports, and I ran track and cross country through high school and into college, and that served me well in the Army, and it served me well to this day. And I think establishing those healthy habits like we're trying to do with ACEs are just incredibly important for our children.
I'm sure, JJ, the military sort of laid that foundation when it comes to your fitness habits that you have now today, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What was the physical grind like for you during your days in the military?
Every morning. Every morning, 6 o'clock in formation, we would get out there. And it's, you know, the camaraderie out there, getting out there with the rest of the unit and doing that in a, you know, it's like it's a bit of a social environment, too, where you get everybody out there. You're trying to get physically fit so you can accomplish your mission. But there's also that aspect of being social and being out there and getting it done with the rest of the unit.
Do you have a fitness regimen that you participate in daily today?
I do. I'm a runner. So I get out there probably 4 or 5 days a week and get out for a good run. And then recently with my boys picking up youth hockey, I've been getting out on the ice every now and again as well.
Fantastic. And I'm sure you are enjoying the weather that we're finally getting here in Michigan, right?
Absolutely. I'll get a great run in this afternoon.
There you go. All right. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the president and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation, J.J. Ty. Now, J.J., what's the toughest part about making sure that young people stay active really after their high school sporting days are over? Because what I find so interesting is that I talk to a lot of individuals, even, you know, some of my friends that because I played basketball when I was in high school. After I graduated high school and didn't play collegiately and got into the real world, I found that there was a slide in my overall fitness daily regimen myself. How do you make sure that young folks in general make sure they stay involved and make fitness a priority?
Well, I think it is. It's about having that establishing those habits, right? If it's part of your routine every day, you're able to continue that on in whatever you do. For me, it was running. I found my lifelong passion there. Somebody else, it may be swimming or walking or whatever it is. It's finding that passion and establishing those habits and making it part of your routine every day. And then when you do move on, You make it part of your dream. Make it a deliberate time that you set aside to do that for yourself and that work-life balance when you get into the professional career, and really making sure that you maintain a focus on it.
JJ, other than ACES, what other events does the Michigan Fitness Foundation participate in to educate our state and beyond on staying healthy?
Absolutely. We have the Pure Michigan Fitness Series, which is over 400 events across the state where we try to promote and just highlight those events that are in your local communities. We also do the bridge run on Labor Day that'll cross the Mackinac Bridge. And we have the North American International Auto Show 5K that kicks off the auto show every year, the first day of the public days. So we have those types of events. And then we have physical activity promotion events that are in schools across the state on a daily basis with our partners in the community.
God, I love that. Now, what's the biggest of those events?
The biggest of the event, single day event, would be our ACES Day event, where we can really bring together over 300,000 kids all doing it at the same time in a single day.
Now, I believe you guys also have, in April, if I'm not mistaken, the Governor's Fitness Awards coming up. And
absolutely,
I believe Athletic Director Mark Hollis is a part of that. Talk about that a bit.
Yep. So we have our annual fitness awards that'll be down. We'll do a legislative event that'll be in the Capitol Rotunda. And then in the evening, we'll have our gala down at Cobo Hall, where Mark will be speaking. He'll be our keynote speaker this year. And then we'll also be recognizing some really amazing folks from across the state. We'll have former Mayor Bing, who will be recognized at the event this year, as well as Gordie Howe, who will be joining us at the event this year.
That's going to be a pretty big event.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a sellout. I'm going to say that right now.
I think
that's going to be a sellout.
Without
all right, JJ, before we get you out of here, as far as your organization and you being the president and CEO, the head of that organization, what have been your goals within the Michigan Fitness Foundation, and have you hit those yet?
I think there's always more work to do in this space in establishing these healthy habits and working with our partners across the state. I think from my vision is the collaboration component. It's working with every sector. We all have to be working toward this to really change the status quo and make a difference for our kids and build that healthier generation.
What kind of team do you have around you? Who are the individuals who really, you know, the straws that stir the drink as well?
Well, I think everything from your teachers in the classroom, our partners that are in our in community schools, the department folks that are at Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, Michigan Department of Education, really educating and helping us move some of this agenda forward. And then, you know what? It's the parents. It's reaching those parents and getting that engagement at home as well as at school and helping to develop those healthy habits for our kids.
JJ, do you feel like the want to become healthier, a healthier society, is increasing or decreasing over time?
I think it's I think we have a lot of influences that compete for our time. I think we have the influence of technology. I think we have to take a deliberate approach about it and make sure it's always front and center and a focus for us. Otherwise, we have the chance to kind of slip backward. We've got, you know, when you mentioned the obesity component, we've got in the state of Michigan, we've got 33-34% of our kids that are classified as obese. That's something we all need to take a look at and work together to reduce.
Gotta love that. All right, folks, we are chatting with JJ Tai. He is the president and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation. And before we get you out of here, JJ, how can people learn more about what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say two things. One, for ACEs Day, if you reach out to your teachers at school to check to see if your kids are participating this year. Also, engage with your Farm Bureau agent who sponsors the event with us. Their agents can help you get engaged. They've been a great partner over a number of years for this event. And then lastly, you can go to michiganfitness.org/ACEs. Or just michiganfitness.org to learn about any of our events.
And you know what, JJ, before we get you out of here again, our question of the day, if you will. So I want to throw a sports question at you, and it's kind of our question of the day concerning Calvin Johnson. Yeah. You a big football guy?
I am.
Calvin Johnson deciding to retire. You just heard one of our callers, Dave from Grand Rapids, weigh in and really hit on the health component of this. CTE is a very scary thing, and you know the more that we're learning about it, whenever I have a little son of mine and he comes to me and says, Dad, you know, I want to play football, I would have a serious talk with him for sure. How serious of an issue do you think CTE is? And when it comes to Calvin Johnson retiring, what's your reaction?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not an expert in CTE. I've seen it from the veteran side with TBI and some of the other issues that we have with our veterans returning from combat zones. I think how we help those individuals that are experienced that and post-traumatic stress and those type of things is absolutely important. As far as, you know, our athletes, my kids play hockey and, you know, there's always that risk there as well. I think it's something that we need to make sure that the research is there and that we're protecting our children and we understand the risk if we're going to have our children play sports. I played football as a, you know, kind of Pop Warner age kind of guy. I loved it. Now there is a risk and we need to go in with our eyes wide open and make sure we're protecting our kids to the best of our ability. But also sports are a great way to get our kids active and are woven into the fabric of our country. So we've got to balance that out.
Do any of your sons play football? I'm curious.
Not yet.
Not yet.
They're a little too young. We're getting to that point.
Okay, guys. Yep. Would you let them?
I would.
You would, and why? Yeah.
The sports is such a fabric in our communities and across our country. I think the teamwork and the aspects of being part of a team are so important to our society in general. It's served me well. So it's a little bit of my personal background. I think that's an incredibly important part of growing up. But you also have to weigh the risk. So I do understand that there's a risk out there and we have to protect our kids.
JJ Tai, JJ, you have been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will certainly be in touch in the coming months.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me. This has been great. It's been great.
No problem. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's show by hitting you with Tickle Tuesday. Yeah, you don't want to miss that. And also, Denzel Valentine sweeping the awards. You don't want to miss that. That and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
From the moment you wake up through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you.
Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. Protesters.
Through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
The morning's news on your way to work between 5 and 9 on 90.5 WKAR.
Hi, I'm Armin Alney. On the next To the Point, the GOP's leading candidate is fighting back against the effort to dump Trump.
We're not going to let our politicians destroy our country. We're not going to let it happen.
Can the Republican Party establishment overcome years of broken promises and forces unleashed by its embrace of the Tea Party in 2009? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
To the Point this afternoon at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Much thanks to J.J. Tai, President and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation, for joining me on today's show. And also a big shout-out to Allie McLeary, who did a great job of setting that interview up for us on today's airwaves. All right, folks, well, we have 10 minutes left. If you want to be a part of today's show, call in 517-355-9527. I want to get your thoughts on Calvin Johnson retiring. We just had Dave from Grand Rapids call in. Also, on your thoughts on CTE, and how do you think that's impacting the game of football today? And what do you think the legacy, what is the legacy of Calvin Johnson and Peyton Manning now that they've decided to hang it up? What do you think about those stories and more? 517-355-9527. All right, folks, let's close out the show like we do each and every Tuesday. We love to have some fun each and every Tuesday here on the show. I know how the beginning of the week can be, a lot of meetings, just busy. You're just busy running errands, you know, focused on work during the very beginning of the week. So we love to end the show on a lighthearted note. How about we hit you with Tickle Tuesday? What exactly have been the funniest stories in, the last week in the world of sports? Here we go.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
All right, folks, it is time for Tickle Tuesday. What exactly have been the funniest story in the past week? We love to have a lot of fun here each and every Tuesday. So I want to start with this one, 2 Chainz. Yeah, rapper 2 Chainz, folks, I kid you not. He is apparently becoming a sports expert. TMZ actually talked to him about the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz fight. 2 Chainz says he ain't throwing in the towel on Conor McGregor. McGregor, of course, fell to Nate Diaz in one of the biggest upsets in UFC fighting history, saying he wasn't just impressed with the way he fought, but loved the fact that he still went clubbing after the fight. Yeah, Conor McGregor, even though he lost, he still hit the club. TMZ reported that Conor hit Surrender Nightclub hours after losing to Nate Diaz at UFC 196 and then went to a bikini pool party the very next day. 2 Chainz, who was in New York City promoting his new album, pointed out that McGregor is handling his loss much differently than Ronda Rousey. So there you go. 2 Chainz weighing in on fighting. All right. And Charles Barkley, folks, I feel like he stays on Article Tuesday. He's like a staple on this segment. But Charles Barkley is coming out and is very adamant about Ben Simmons staying another year in college. He believes that Ben Simmons is not ready. LSU freshman who has really taken the men's college basketball world by storm. Barkley out in New York City was asked if he thought Simmons, the consensus number one pick in this summer's draft, was ready for the NBA just after 1 year out in the Bayou. It's not really a crazy question. LSU has struggled this season. And as good as Ben looks, some wonder if the lack of team success means that Simmons, a walking double-double, has, a little more learning to do, if you will. And Charles says, you know what? The kid needs to stay in school. So there you have that, Charles Barkley offering his expertise. And one last one. Get this. Von Miller is turning his attention from Cam Newton. Von Miller, of course, Super Bowl MVP, a stout defensive player for the best defense in the NFL last year for the Denver Broncos. Von Miller is turning his attention away from Cam Newton to Jody Sweetin. because the Super Bowl MVP has just announced on the new cast of Dancing with the Stars. I kid you not. The Denver Broncos stud joins other jocks like Doug Flutie, Antonio Brown, and UFC rising star Paige VanZant in the non-athlete competition. Misha Barton, Real Housewives alum Kim Fields, Marla Maples, Geraldo Rivera, and Boys to Men's Wanya Morris. There you have that three stories that really just tickled me when reading them in the sports world. If I miss something, call in 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. To close out the show, I have to tip my cap to Denzel Valentine, who, again, folks, just completely swept the Big Ten Awards last night, being named as the Big Ten Player of the Year. Really no surprise, though. I mean, Valentine has been just unbelievable this year. Considered one of the top two candidates for National Player of the Year, along with, of course, Oklahoma senior guard Buddy Hield. And when looking at his numbers, I mean, he's averaging, 19.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists for the number two Spartans, who, again, start Big Ten tournament play Friday out in Indianapolis. And get this, since assists became a statistic, I mentioned this earlier, since it became a statistic in the 1983-84 season, no player in college basketball has averaged 19 points, 7 boards, and 7 assists for a full season. Valentine is also the only player in Big Ten history to reach 1,500 points, 800 boards, and 500 assists in a career. Izzo brought up another reason to vote for Valentine when it comes to this National Player of the Year award. Quote, "That kid changed positions in the middle of the year. When I look at some of these great programs in the Big Ten, even that have gone completely injury-free, it means that everyone you're passing to, everybody knows exactly where everybody is going. We have been so disjointed in that respect, and that puts a lot of pressure on your quarterback. And that guy has handled it with class, and he has accepted it. If I had a vote for the National Player of the Year, it would certainly go to Denzel Valentine, because this is called the National Player of the Year Award, right? When it comes to being a player, from top to bottom, nobody has done it like Denzel Valentine. When it comes to scoring, when it comes to sharing the basketball, getting his teammates involved, and even in the rebound category, Denzel Valentine from top to bottom is that dude. Simple as that. So congratulations to Denzel Valentine. He also won the USA Today National Player of the Year Award. So congratulations to him in that conversation as well. Well deserved, to say the least. All right. Also have to note that in the opening night of high school boys basketball districts action, I was at the East Lansing and Lansing Waverly game. East Lansing topped Lansing Waverly by a score of, I see here, I wrote the final score down, 61-48 was the final of that game. So Steve Finnemore and his Trojans are right now 20-0 on the year. They went 19-0 during the regular season. Of course, they won the CAAC Blue Championship outright. They beat Craig Fields and the Warriors yesterday in the Class A district, which East Lansing is hosting. So with the win, East Lansing now moves on to play DeWitt tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. And the game before the Trojans played the Warriors, you had Hazlitt taking on Grand Ledge. Grand Ledge won that game. So now GL will play Lansing Eastern at 5 p.m. tomorrow at East Lansing High School. I really think this is the most compelling district that there is. I mean, Hazlitt, Grand Ledge, East Lansing, DeWitt, Waverly. It's really a shame, though, that there's only going to be one champion to come out of this district in the head to the Breslin Center, because, man, those are just some fun teams to watch. So a great season. I want to say great season to Craig Fields and his Warriors team. They had a great year, without a doubt. And they actually had a very nice run in the second quarter to make it a single-digit game going into halftime. It was 32-23 after two quarters of play. But, again, Brandon Johns and company just so good. Well, actually, you get to hear from Steve Finnemore and what he had to say about his team on tomorrow's show, that and more on tomorrow's show. Thanks so much to J.J. Ty president and CEO of the Michigan Fitness Foundation. Thanks so much to our engineer, Drew Hill, for holding it down. And thanks so much to you out there for listening to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. We'll be back at it tomorrow. And be easy, people.